So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Tell you what else is one of my favorites. The TV series Reno 911. Love it. Cannot get enough of it. When I see reruns, when I see it streaming someplace, I always stop to watch and laugh my stupid head off. That's how much I enjoy it. So you can imagine how happy I was to hear that Reno 911 is back in a new form on the Quibi platform, the new Quibi platform. And once again, most of the cast, almost all the whole cast, is back, including our longtime friend, Thomas Lennon, played Lieutenant Jim Dangle on the show, back in those uncomfortably short shorts again. Tom, I give you credit. I mean, back in the day, you know, when we're younger, we all made fashion choices. You know, that some worked and some didn't. I give you credit that all these years later, you put those shorts on again. You couldn't wait to get those shorts on again.
Dean, I'll tell you, I mean, the good news is they never fit very well the first time. So, you know, it was like sliding into, a glove that really never fit at all. So luckily, there's a lot of stretch in that material.
That's what's disturbing. There's a lot of stretch
you gotta
in that.
the sort of Sansa belt, the leisure wear. You have a lot to give. Although I had the gun belt had to get let out at least a little bit for sure, I'll tell you. Yeah.
So what was the talk and the process of bringing this back in this new Quibi format, which is very interesting? It's a new online platform, but everything is 10 minutes or less. On the show.
That's right. And you really can only watch stuff on your phone with it. It was sort of, designed to compete with YouTube and things like that.
Yeah.
I know we're of a different era, but the kids really mostly watch stuff on their phones, it turns out. The Reno 911, if you didn't see the old episodes, you probably know a lot of the faces from the show, like Wendy McClendon Covey also stars on Goldberg's.
Yeah.
And then Cedric Yarbrough has been on Carol's second act and just a million shows. Niecy Nash who plays Williams on Reno 911, is the only person I've ever heard of doing this. She went on Dancing with the Stars, lost, and then got nominated for 2 Emmys after being on Dancing with the Stars, which just seems like a physical impossibility. So a big part of why we just couldn't do the Reno shows was because we were so lucky that everybody in the show made so many of the cast members so famous.
Right, yeah.
That we couldn't get them back. So, yeah, it took after 11 years. And everybody always wanted to do it. We had always, we would email each other and be like, should we do it? Let's just do it. We all have the outfits before we're way too old to do it.
Yeah.
And then Quibi came along. And honestly, some people were nervous about the Quibi format. They're like, do I want to watch a movie and 8 to 10 minute increments? And the answer to that is, I really don't know. But I will say, and there's 3 of them go up tomorrow on the app, the Reno 911s are really, we don't need to be more than 7-8 minutes. It's perfect for us.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that. I mean, as much as I loved, I mean, the Reno 911 movie was, I feel like you made that for me. Because, that was just like,
oh, thank you, Dean.
Just a complete indulgence.
According to box office results, Dean Richards was the only person who saw that movie, too. So that's interestingly. Now that we're doing the numbers, that makes a lot more sense financially. I get it.
Now it makes sense to you that I was the only one. I'm telling you what, if, in these days when people are, self-isolating at home and looking for things to watch, find this Reno 911 movie. It's got to be on some of the platforms someplace.
Oh, it's everywhere, yeah.
It is hilarious. It is so funny.
A fun detail about the Reno movie, which is, Dean, do you remember that The Rock is in the Reno 911 movie?
I do remember that, yes.
Yes. We were making the movie, and basically the premise, which is not, all the Reno 911 premises can be understood by a dog. But the premise of the movie was we go to a law enforcement convention. Everyone in the building gets put under a quarantine because there's like a bio attack. And we're the only cops on the outside except for one. And the only other cop on the outside is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
How about that?
And he comes to help. He comes to like give us a speech. He's going to make us great. And then he accidentally during his speech just pulls a grenade off his vest and blows up. I remember The Rock. It was so fun. The Rock was just like, oh, no, I love Reno 911. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'm telling you, find this movie and watch it over and over. You will laugh your silly heads off, as I do, with the movie and the old episodes. I just think it's just so fun to sit and watch it all. And that's why I think...
It's nice to do it again, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think these little, 10-minute, kind of vignettes, I guess you might call them, are perfect. Just a nice little appetizer.
I've been saying we're sort of we're kind of the Lay's potato chips or we're like the movie popcorn. It's not necessarily good for you, but it's very delicious and it hits the spot right then. You know what I mean?
That yeah. is so true. That is so true. It really does hit the spot. And as you say,
it went from being like steaks to being like now we're just like a little box of White Castle sliders.
Spoken as a former Chicagoan, only could speak to bring White Castles into the conversation, into the food.
Dean, I think I'm still mourning Tasty Dog. So let's.
It's sad for us all. Sad for us all, Tom.
I know.
the Quibi version of Reno 911 debuts tomorrow. They begin. If you find Quibi in your app store, and you'll be able to find lots of things. They have lots of different programs, all short, under 10 minutes, and you only can watch on the phone. But
Of Chicago, I think Chance the Rapper also has
that's
a show.
Right.
He's redoing the new Punk'd episode.
Yeah, he's.
I would be remiss if I didn't say, Dean, that the app is actually free until like the end of July. So
that's right.
So it'd be kind of if you get it now, it's. And I hate to say, like, you could cancel it any time, but you could.
Yeah,
no,
it's a good time to sample it. It's a good time to sample a lot of the things that are out there. You know, I don't want to name drop on you. We had Jeffrey Katzenberg, who, is like one of the biggest movie producers in the world and is one of the names behind Quibi. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he did mention that it's free for a while. So, we can...
Jeffrey has been a real champion of the Reno episodes, which is interesting because, he wanted to put it on the platform. And I think everyone around him knew what Reno 911 was as a show. But I don't think he'd ever actually seen it because his taste runs a little fancy pantsier than that, I suppose.
Yeah. But he does understand, what's funny and what people want to watch. He does get all of that. So what else?
Really
what else is what is going on with you? I see you. I saw you on a lot of talk shows talking about this new book that you've got out, Ronan Boyle and the Swamp of Certain Death.
So this is the second in, if you remember, I was in Chicago for an incredible winter snowstorm last April when there was a blizzard in Chicago.
That's redundant.
I was touring for the, I was touring for the first Ronan Boyle book, which was... It's a series of kids' book. I'm on two right now, and it's about basically a young kid in Galway, Ireland, gets recruited for the special unit of Tírnanog, which is the police force in the Irish Republic that deals with leprechauns and clericons and fair derigs and dullahans, all the sort of Irish mythical creatures. And it's not the Bourne Identity. It's like mostly the crimes of leprechauns are like they're going to steal your whiskey, they want to steal your shoes, they're going to swap your baby for a log. Just leprechaun. It's petty leprechaun crimes.
Yeah.
So that's what the book series is about. It's been tremendous fun. And there's two of them. I also read the audiobooks for people who like to listen to things, which I bet if you listen to Dean Richards, you might enjoy. I did both recordings of the audiobooks, which you can get anywhere there's audiobooks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to brag. I don't know if you know this, but as a former Chicagoan, I have been the voice of Victory Auto Wreckers for like 30 years now, something like that.
I feel like I knew that.
Yeah, the famous Victory Auto Wreckers.
I feel like I knew that. And then B, I love that you started a brag with, I'm not going to brag. Always somebody's about to start bragging.
Yeah, exactly. That was a slightly sarcastic version of that, but still, it was me bragging about not bragging. Yeah,
we're going to do local ads brag. Do you remember that I was the face of Dominic's grocery stores?
Get out of here!
I'll send you the photo if you look. It's in one of my. So there was a campaign for Dominic's. Where there was the helpful bag boy who was out like doing like being a great guy in the Dominic's parking lot and making sure that carts don't hit your car and just being a delight. And that was one of my first acting gigs was Domino's.
That was you.
Dominic's bag boy.
Yeah, that was you. Wow. I have to find some.
Yeah.
Do you have video of that or just the photograph?
I definitely, you know what? I'll put it on your Twitter. I for sure got the photo. I think I have the commercial.
Oh, that would be because Tom is going to be on our WGN TV morning news this coming Tuesday morning at 8:50. And if that
I'll have all these clips for you.
Yeah, if that doesn't have WGN morning news written all over it, I don't know what does.
Yeah, it's interesting because you get to see me as a very early actor, and you can see I'm taking my acting as the Dominic's bag boy really serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Method. I thought it was going to lead to mostly movie stuff, you know?
Yeah, method acting. Did you go and, you know, like research and talk to other cart boys and things like
that? I do think I went to the Dominic's a little bit early. I mean, in fairness, I had spent quite a bit of time at Dominic's already with my mom. So, yeah.
I love that. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if I could get a competing offer from like Aldi, but it never came.
Right. Well, you know, it still could happen. Dominic's is gone, but Aldi's is thriving. So, you know, that's that could still work out for you. People are texting in and saying how much they love Reno 911.
Nice.
Here is the 708 area code. Reno 911 was awesome, like a combination of Police Academy and Monty Python. Could there be a nicer compliment than that?
No, that's absolutely perfect. Wow, that means a lot. Thanks.
Reno, Thomas Lennon, was Reno 911 ad-libbed or scripted?
This is an interesting detail because I know it seems completely ad-libbed, and that is somewhat true. No one ever had a script of anything we say. But Ben Grant, who, you know, we did the Night at the Museum movies and some other stuff, Ben and I write the outlines with Kerry Kenny for pretty much every single scene, and they're surprisingly specific. I think mostly because we never want to just go out and be like, hey, let's just goof around and try to think up something funny.
Yeah.
That almost never works. You know, it's really, really good to have a plan, and then we certainly goof around in that plan. But one thing that's never planned ever are those when you see us in those morning meetings. Those are always the rest of the cast never has any idea what I'm going to say. I usually don't tell them, and I usually don't plan what I'm going to say at all. I just start talking, so and then see what happens.
And then everybody just riffs off of each other in that.
They do, and then you also, the little secret is you cut out like 85% of it. and then it looks like everything you said was really, really funny.
I love that. I love that. That's that's very interesting to know because there are bits and pieces of the show where you do wonder because it seems so completely off the cuff. And the reactions of the people with whom you are doing your scenes, they seem surprised and completely off the cuff. I guess that's just a tribute to all of your acting abilities to make it seem so. You know, when you start off working, you know, being a Dominic cart boy, you know, your acting skills obviously are pretty sharp.
Obviously, I was coming in very hot off of my Dominic's gig. I mean, I was lining up. My Chicago credits were so solid. I was with Jan Marie Talon Agency, which was, I believe, upstairs from maybe Dewey's. It was up on Ontario
yeah.
or Ohio Street.
Okay.
She had my agent, Jan Marie, in Chicago, best agent I've ever had. When you opened the door to her office, you couldn't open it because it would hit the desk because her office was so small.
What other jobs did you have when you were in Chicago, acting or otherwise?
Chicago acting? Chicago acting, the first, I was so excited because I was in a McDonald's Back to the Future commercial that we shot at the old McDonald's. Dean, you'll know this. What's the old McDonald's that's kind of out towards the airport, but not really?
That's on...
It's one of the really old McDonald's with the old arches that, you know...
I think that was the first one in the area. I think that was the first one in the area, yeah.
Right, so we shot a spoof Back to the Future McDonald's commercial there, where I played the kid who pops his head out the window. There's like a cool Back to the Future guy, which I did not play that guy, which was definitely a bummer. But a kid goes back in time in a denim jacket to the old McDonald's on the west side of Chicago there, and he says, can I get a Big Mac? And my line was, a big what? And the kid freaks out and looks at the camera, and he's like, oh, no, I went back in time before Big Mac.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was one of my early gigs.
Yeah, somebody has texted in that's in Des Plaines. That was in Des Plaines.
Des Plaines,
yeah.
The Des Plaines McDonald's,
yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And then I did, there was a lot of, I'm trying to think of other local stuff. There's one that you can see on the internet, which is probably the most embarrassing footage that exists in my life, which is I was the spokesman for Konami video games for a little bit. We shot that in Chicago.
Wow.
If you Google Thomas Lennon Konami commercial.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I would recommend is tie a blindfold over your face and shove something in your ears so that you don't see what you just Googled because it's so embarrassing.
You know, that's going to be the first thing that I do when I get off the air today. I may spend the rest of the day just watching it over and over again.
It's for something. My voice hasn't changed. I'm like trying to be Michael J. I'm talking like this, and I'm like wearing
fantastic.
A lot of denim. Oh, man. So much like bleached denim.
Yeah. Well, that was the time, though. That was, you were right on time with what people were wearing.
What we were doing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What just explain to everybody where you grew up and, you know, your Chicago background.
Sure. So my dad is one of 10 from the south side of Chicago. My mom's one of 7 from Oak Park. So there's a lot of us. And then I grew up my whole life in Oak Park, which of course is you know, the end of the L stops. And my dad, who's listening right now, I'm sure, worked at the Art Institute of Chicago for 40-something years, I think.
Wow. What did he do there?
The exact number, but it's a lot. My dad was in the conservation department, so he would restore art and also just sort of keep track of art and make sure it's, like, not scratched, make sure it doesn't get melted by lights. And, like, then he would sometimes... He did some big restorations of paintings, you know. I know he worked on when they sort of redid the big Surratt, and I think American Gothic.
Yeah.
He worked on all of those. He was in that department that would, you know, preserve and
right.
the paintings.
Right.
He also would sometimes get calls. Do you remember when somebody threw a bucket of paint on the big Picasso statue?
I do. I do remember that, yes.
Okay. So the guy that they called when that happens is my dad.
Oh,
that's
wow.
who they call. Yeah.
Wow.
He's the guy. If you got some stuff on your Picasso, still call him. He's around.
Yeah. So maybe you got some of your material for Night at the Museum from your dad then.
There is undoubtedly an overlap there because we spent a ton of time downtown at the museum, and we did get to go behind the scenes quite a bit and use the fun, like, painting freight elevator and stuff. So there's, yeah, when Ben and I wrote that movie, there was, without a doubt, my love for museums.
Yes.
Is it a love for museums with a slight question mark? Also, I'd been dragged at the time to every museum in the world.
Right.
Well, which, as a grown-up, you're like, well, this is amazing.
Right. As a kid.
I've been to the Louvre twice. As a kid, you're like, I don't want to go to the Louvre once.
Yeah.
What are you doing? No, as a grown-up, you're like, wow, they took you to the Louvre. I was like, yeah, but there was also a place with like a trampoline a mile away that was more fun.
Right, exactly. There's a go-kart track. Let's go there. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Europe has no rules about their go-karts. Let's do that. Yeah.
So we'll continue the conversation. I'm sorry I'm not going to see you in person. This is just, you know, so weird that what we're going through right now. You're doing well, I assume, and all of this isolation, right?
Yeah, we're good for the circumstances. You know, we're trying to do nice stuff for, you know, the LAPD around here and things like that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't have the luxury of being in their house right now, and so we're trying to, you know, be as supportive as we can.
Yeah, good.
But
for you.
We're all good here.
Good, you know? Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it, and we'll talk more Tuesday morning at.
We're going to talk on the show.
8:50 on the TV morning news. We'll talk more with Tom about the Reno 911 that premieres on Quibi, the new online platform, tomorrow. Also, don't forget that the second of his three book series, Ronan Boyle and the Swamp of Certain Death, is out right now. So you can also look for that. That sounds like something fun that parents can do with their kids right now as well, right?
You know, it's a fun listen. I got to say, the audiobook of both of them, it might be a real easy way to keep the kids amused. It's also weirdly got like a little bit, not a lot of Irish history in it, but enough that it's the kids will come away with some fun, you know, Irish myth and a tiny touch of Irish history. And also, I did a thing where if you read the book, some of it's set in Galway, some of it's set in Dublin, and I posted on Google Maps. You can do a street view. You can take the walk on Google Maps that the character takes, one of his walks in Galway and one of his walks in Dublin, which is fun. If you're reading the books with the kids, it's kind of a fun way to kill a few minutes, is take a pretend walk through Galway.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the version that Tom reads, you know, explain to the kids, now he was once a Dominic's cart boy, and look what he's become now. You know, so it's inspiring to the kids.
Dean, I'm going to correct you now. We're friends. I wasn't a Dominic's cart boy. I was the Dominic's.
Sorry. Once again, you just want to one-up me every step of the way, don't you? I see what's
happening. You won't stop bragging about the victory. What is it?
Victory Auto Wreckers. It's legendary.
Oh, he had to fit, and he had to fit it in again.
It's legendary. Like that old car might be worth money. That's right. You know what? To be the voice of Chicago's most famous junkyard is quite the honor for me. And as I've said many times, it's going to be the first line of my obit. Dean Richards, best known as voice of Victory Auto Wreck.
I think I speak for a lot of Americans and Chicagoans when I say I can't wait to read your obituary, Dean.
By the way, speaking of, this kind of ties in, the McDonald's, yes. I'm told the McDonald's in Des Plaines was torn down a year ago. It was demolished a year ago. So
boo.
So the only memory of it now is Tom's commercial. Yeah.
We shot that day. It was a classic Chicago. I think it was probably in the minus 14 to minus 18. So what they would have us, what they would do is you would shove your mouth with ice and chew up as much ice as you could, so that when you would speak, because it was supposed to be summer, your breath, it would cool down your breath little bit, so it registered on screen slightly less.
Yes.
I mean, you could still, I think, get your breath a little bit, but the ice chew would help somewhat. So like between takes, it was like, so imagine it's already 14-ish below,
and you're chewing
and
ice.
You're like, here, chew this ice to make the scene look slightly better.
Wow!
And I remember thinking, oh, I love acting. I love this.
The magic of show business. That's why I love talking with you. Tom Lennon, Thomas Lennon, Reno 911 on Quibi. It's always great to catch up with you. Look forward to talking with you on TV on Tuesday morning at 8:50. Tom, have a great day today. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Always great to talk to you.